Good morning. It is 10:31 a.m. We are here today, April 20, 2017, in the OPA Hearing Room, Suite 907 of the DNA Building in Hagan, Guam, for the motions hearing of OPAPA 17-001 Cortec International Corp. versus the Department of Public Works. Presiding over the hearing today are Hearing Officer Anthony Camacho and Public Auditor Doris Horace Brooks. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Rodolin Gerardo and Jared Hernandez. Will Appellant Cortec please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning. Joyce Tang for Cortec with me are Leslie Travis and also Sam Fitzpatrick. Thank you.
Thank you. Will Purchasing Agency DPW please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Yeah, Thomas Keeler appearing on behalf of the Attorney General's Office representing the Department of Public Works, which is represented by its Deputy Director, Felix Benevente.
Thank you. We may proceed.
Also, I'd like to acknowledge the presence of Senator Tom Atta. Senator has introduced a number of bills pertaining to procurement, and this is his area. Oversight.
So what we're here today for is a motion hearing for the government or the purchasing agency's motion to dismiss and motion for an expedited hearing. My understanding is there's no objection to the purchasing agency's motion for an expedited hearing. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so I'm going to consider that matter conceded and act accordingly. But just to remind the parties that a procurement appeal inherently is, under regulation, an expedited proceeding. So that said, Mr. Keeler, you have the floor for your motion to dismiss.
Initially, I would note that there's been no opposition filed.
Do you have the appellant's opposition filed on April the 10th? Is that served on him this day?
Yes.
Can you show him proof of that?
Yeah, I would.
From the opposition, here's the stamp.
Okay, I would withdraw that comment.
Okay.
Did you
just from a logistical standpoint?
Before we proceed, would you like? It's only a few pages long. Would you like to take a minute or two to peruse it? We can go off the record while you do so. Let's do that. Let's go off the record very briefly.
We're off the record at 10:34 a.m. We're back on the record at 10:36 a.m.
All right, Mr. Keeler, now that you've had the opportunity to, have you had a reasonable opportunity to review the appellant's
Yes.
opposition to your motion? Okay, so please proceed with your argument.
Okay. In its March 16th, 2017 appeal, Cortec essentially raised two arguments. One, that cost was not included as part of the proposal evaluation, and two, claimed that the first RFP, which is how I'm identifying the current one under protest, be limited to Simon Sanchez High School in preparation of the CCIP, which is the Comprehensive Capital Improvement Plan. Number one was made moot by DPW's March 1st, 2017 agency report, in which it agreed to include pricing as an evaluation factor. The purpose of that was in order to expedite the and avoid further delays with regards to the Simon Sanchez High School project. Number two was made moot by DPW's March 31st, 2017 motion to dismiss, in which the government agreed to limit the current RFP to Simon Sanchez High School and the CCIP as requested by Cortec. The items that are contained in Cortec's opposition relate to Chapter 58E or Public Law 32-121, which in all of its moving documents, it argues, is a separate RFP. That the first RFP is limited to Simon Sanchez and development of a plan. The second RFP, which it has not been drafted, has not been issued, can't be issued yet because there isn't a plan in place. Okay, but
you're referring to the CCIP?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Okay. In all of its moving documents, they're claiming that that should be a second RFP. Well, that's fine. That's why we've stipulated, the government has stipulated to include and address the two concerns of CoreTech with the first RFP. The items that are addressed in the opposition relate entirely to the second RFP, which is what CoreTech has requested and directed its issues to.
Okay. So do if I understand your argument correctly, Mr. Keeler, you're saying that in the agency report, basically the governor, the purchasing agency is conceding to removing or including, excuse me, cost or price, if you will, as a evaluation factor?
That's correct.
And then in your motion to dismiss, you're saying that the government is conceding the second issue, which is that that 5 GCA Chapter 58E concerning the CCIP, this is for repairs to the 34 other schools, is that correct? I'm just
yes.
summarizing.
That's
now.
Correct.
That you're conceding that should be in a second or a separate RFP, not this one, is that correct?
Yes, actually the specific point that the government has made and agreed to is that the first RFP will be limited solely to Simon Sanchez and development of the CCIP.
Okay. Now, would that require a substantial revision at all to the existing RFP that's a subject of this protest?
It would. I don't know how we define substantial. It would
let me just rephrase it. It would require a revision to the existing RFP, is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay, because I think cost is not included as a factor, and I believe the existing RFP, how does that address the 34 other schools?
As drafted, it talks about task orders and things of that nature that would issue upon development of the CCIP.
All right, now that's similar to the way it was structured in the prior RFP.
That's correct.
All right, thank you.
I'd like to just clarify further, though. Is it the intent that a study be done with the current RFP in other words, in order to proceed to the second RFP, there has to be some kind of plan of action to assist the Department of Education in determining what are their priorities and what is this going to cost us. So what will be the funding mechanism of helping the Department of Education identify the CCIP? And that's where I'm seeking clarification. Is that going to come from as an additional cost? Because
that cost is addressed in Public Law 32-120. So that would be inclusive of the development of Simon Sanchez, as well as the second item authorized under that would be the CCIP.
Translate that again.
That would be covered under the funds that are authorized for the first RFP. So the first RFP will accomplish two items,
okay.
Two items only.
The major item is the rebuild of Simon Sanchez.
Correct.
The second item?
Second item would be the development of a CCIP or the plan for maintenance and improvements to the remaining schools.
And then based on that plan, that would be the basis of issuing the second RFP.
That's correct.
And then the second RFP then logically probably would take some time because the development of that plan is going to take some time to assess.
From what I understand, the plan itself, which is already has other plans that it is allowed to reference, et cetera. It's my understanding that the CCIP can be developed in something like a 2 to 4 month period.
Because, you know, when they talk about the Department of Interior plan, it was very broad. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Understood.
Yeah, and not enough specificity to know how much all of this is going to cost. Yeah, so that's, so you're thinking 2 to 4 months possibly.
2 to 4 months.
Okay, that seems reasonable. Thank you for that clarification.
Anything else, Mr. Keelan?
No.
All right. Ms. Tang.
Good morning. Let me start by saying that CORTEC did try to engage in discussions to stipulate to terms that it thinks complies with the law, and that's one aspect of it. The second aspect of it was to have to prevent further protests and appeals, have to come back here to get clarification. It was unsuccessful. And I will get into some of that discussion because it was raised in the agency's comments to the agency, comments or response to our opposition to the agency report. Okay? Now, just a bit of a recap. We were here last year, and the first appeal resulted in a 45-page, very detailed, clear decision enumerating numerous violations by DPW, failure to follow process, exceeding the $100 million cap, and that's just to name a few. That lack of, the other aspect of it was a decision, was there was a clear lack of transparency and record keeping. We are now back before the OPA. We're here not because we're trying to, we have nothing else to do but to protest or to delay the process. The delay is caused by the agency's inability or unwillingness to follow the rules. What are the rules? The law, Chapter 58D, as it relates to Simon Sanchez, and 58E as it relates to the 34 schools. And then there's the RFP, and then the procurement law. Those are the rules that we play by. And today, all we hear them say, well, we're going to concede because we want to avoid delay. You know, we, meaning CORTEC and the agency, should be on the same side, you would think. Because we're trying to enforce the law. We're trying to make sure that there's a level playing field.
Ms. Tang, sorry to interrupt you, but, okay.
All right, let me
so
address.
So in terms of, okay, hang on. So I know that it's your position that even with these concessions, there are somehow issues that still remain.
Yes.
Two in particular. So how would it be that if, let's talk about the first that you raised. And if they say that they're going to remove the requirement for renovating the 34 schools from this RFP, how does that leave an issue that survives?
All right, there are two. If you recall, there are two bases for a protest, and the protest was denied in part. First basis was best value, mm-hmm. not price. Mr. Keeler says we protested on the basis of price. That's not correct. We protested because the law requires best value. What does that mean? That means that best value needs to be a factor in the consideration, one of the factors when the evaluation committee evaluate the proposals, okay, and that's a major, that's something I think needs to be corrected for the record. We did not say price was the basis of our protest. It was your failure to consider best value as mandated by Chapter 58D, NE. So they agree, but they agree grudgingly on the basis of delay. But we don't agree with you. We just want to avoid delay. That bothers me. The second basis of our protest is that you need to follow, because if you read the intent, page 7 of the RFP, the current RFP, it says the government of Guam through Guam Department of Public Works, with the assistance of Guam Department of Education, is seeking a qualified firm to provide financing, design, renovation, and construction, and to provide collateral equipment maintenance insurance as mandated under public laws 32120 and 32121 for a total of 35 schools, Guam Department of Education schools, with priority of Simon Sanchez, as well as the development of a comprehensive capital plan as defined under the statutes. So the scope of this procurement was intended to and to include both of the statute, both enabling statutes, 5850D and E. Our concern was that the only statute, that 58E had very clear instructions, not a program study was required, that's one of the requirements, that it had to be done within 30 days before you issue the RFP. That, it says, it shall be done, not, there's no discretion. Well, by lumping it together, you obviously are violating 58E. Another example of violation of 58E is that this procurement, and we saw this in the last hearing, is it allows for 34 schools, the maintenance and insurance for 38 schools. And we're saying this 58E does not allow for that.
But hasn't they already conceded they're not going to do it?
Well, okay, and that's where we disagree. All right? They conceded it, but they conceded it in a manner that keeps the door open. And we will be back here again. And I want to close that door, and I will explain to you why I think that door is still open. All right? I'm not saying that we agree that there has been a partial concession, but that concession leaves the door open. And that is why we were unable to reach a stipulation. And I will, if I may, because the stipulation was, this is our last proposal to DPW, and which was rejected.
Okay, for identification purposes, would this be your Exhibit A?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So Exhibit A is the joint stipulation, or the draft joint stipulation order to dismiss with corrections on page 2.
Okay, so this is a marked up version of a proposed stipulation that I sent to DBW for their review and approval.
Now, before you continue, Mr. Keeler, is this an accurate copy of this proposed stipulation?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Okay. Now, my point is this. In paragraph, bottom page 1, continuing to page 2, there is a marked up section. My first proposed language is struck out because they rejected it. It reads, the sentence starts with bottom page 1, the Simon Sanchez RFP will not solicit for insurance and maintenance of the other 34 public schools. It used to read, DPW will solicit services for insurance and maintenance as authorized by 5GCA 58 in a separate procurement. All right, they didn't agree to it, so I deleted it. Then I revised it and said, here's the revised language, which is what appears now. So we will now read, the Simon Sanchez RFP will not solicit services for insurance and maintenance of the 34 public schools because it is not authorized under 58GCA 58D. Now, they objected to both versions. My goal, the sole goal of this language, was to close the door on procurement of insurance and maintenance for 34 schools. And that would have cost the government of Guam millions of dollars because it's not authorized under either statute. I've read it over and over, and it's only authorized for Simon Sanchez under 58D. Their argument today is, look, we've carved out 58E, we've conceded that, so it's not before the OPA, it's moot. The response from Mr. Keeler on my proposed language, this is our exhibit B, in an email.
Okay, and so exhibit B is the email from Tom Keeler dated April 11th, 2017. And Mr. Keeler, is this a fair and accurate copy of this purported email from you?
Yes.
Okay, do you have any objections there too?
No.
Okay, please proceed, Ms. Tang.
At the top of page one of this email chain, exhibit B, Mr. Keeler, on behalf of DPW, states, the clarifying language is unnecessary. The government will not sign the stipulation if it's included. All right. So what he's referring to is the sentence I inserted because it is not authorized under 5GC 58D. My goal, and the only goal, was to make sure that it doesn't get sneaked in the second procurement, so we don't have to come back here. The law is clear. 58D and
did
E.
Did you say the second procurement?
Okay, they're talking about a future procurement for 58E. Both procurements, 58D and E, are squarely before this, the public auditor, in this appeal. We appealed, let me just backtrack. Our appeal raised this issue, the program study issue, and also raised the maintenance and insurance issue as deviations and non-compliant provisions or non-compliant matters relating to Chapter 58E. That's squarely before the public auditor in this appeal. So their DPW's argument is by conceding that we're going to take out the capital maintenance, the maintenance and insurance for the 34 schools, you can't, I shouldn't include this in the stipulation, and the public auditor, it's moot. It's unnecessary. I disagree. We disagree because the law has to be clear.
Well, let's back up a little bit. So, I know, but even if you were to stipulate to that, the OPA would still have to go over that stipulation before signing. This is an order to ensure that it's compliant with law. So, and then if we didn't agree, we literally have to issue a decision in order. This is pursuant to that decision in Pacific Data Center. It's not PDSS, it's data management versus the OPA. That was the same issue that we had there. So that's what that's what would likely happen if this was presented to the OPA as written with the with that additional language concerning 58D.
They didn't agree to that language.
No. Even if they had, the OPA would still have to review that.
Right.
For accuracy and to make sure that it's compliant with law.
And we welcome that. But we couldn't reach an agreement on form of the stipulation. And I was not willing to take the chance, not that I didn't have the confidence in OPA, but that if the issue is not squarely before you, whether in a stipulation or some other matter, it may get overlooked or it's not. And that's my concern. I want to close, shut that door on the 34 schools, insurance and maintenance.
What I hear you saying, and just, you know, just for clarity and also for the media to understand all of this too, is that you're saying that there is no authorization or appropriation whatsoever to do to fund the 34 schools. That's in essence what you're saying.
I'm saying, if I may, okay, in response to that question, I'm saying that there is the two laws, 58D, neither 58D nor 58E, authorize the procurement of maintenance and insurance for the 34 schools for 30 years. That will cost tens of millions of dollars. And by accepting the proposed language that DPW wants, I would keep that door open and allow them to bring that in a future RFP. And I'm trying to close that door. I'm saying, look, agree with me that this is not authorized under the procurement. It's pretty clear. Tens of million dollars of procurement is not authorized for insurance, and it's not authorized for maintenance. Can we agree on that? No. Their response is, we don't want to delay. We think it's unnecessary. We think it's moot. We disagree.
Well, the other question I have, Mr. Keeler, is if you've agreed to, pardon the expression, split the... Thank you. The first procurement to just be Simon Sanchez and the funding of the cost of what this might be, the 34 schools. What is going to be the RFP price? Because $100 million, when we were talking the last time, $100 million was to include both.
Correct.
Now that if we're going to split this and only focus on Simon Sanchez, with a small portion, to help fund the CCIP plan, not the construction and all the work and the future. What is the number you have in mind? Because that's going to have to be part of the amended RFP.
Understood.
And I'm not sure if I'm revealing ahead of time, but there needs to be a lower number. And will there be a lower number?
Yes. Mr. Benavente can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's my understanding that the DPW and the committee have yet to make a firm determination whether there's going to be a cap, well, not a cap, whether there's going to be a sum lower than the previously used $100 million cap.
But we need, well...
So you don't really have an answer to that question at this point in time. Is that correct? Would that be fair to say?
There has not been a firm determination. Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, without the committee. Okay.
But it is the understanding that this amended RFP, if it goes forward, will be lower because of an amount that was supposedly set aside for the rest of the schools. Is that a fair statement?
I'm not certain. When the discussions, as I understand it, was that you would take the sums necessary to construct Simon Sanchez, you would take the sum needed to prepare the CCIP, and the balance of that would then be going towards the remaining schools.
But the RFP has to go out with a number.
Yes.
Or should go out with a number, so we all know how, so we can evaluate best value.
Understood. And again...
And the government should have an idea of what this will cost us, because that was a question I had raised earlier in the first appeal.
Well,
what is this going to cost the government of Guam in future lease back payments?
Okay. And again, I don't believe there's been a firm determination whether the first RFP would retain a $100 million cap or whether there's going to be a lower figure.
That seems rather open-ended.
Well, but it has the $100 million cap on it, and then the balance of those funds would be shifted over to the second portion of the second RFP.
Sorry for interrupting you, Ms. Tang, but your comment, I needed to ask that question.
No, I think, thank you, I think you've kind of, I think you, something was, your line of questioning was perfect because it kind of opened it. Now I understand why there is a hesitation or refusal to agree to that particular sentence in the stipulation, because they say the balance of the funds from the first RFP, the current 58D, is going to be used for 58D. I think that's what Mr. Keeler said. I don't think that's appropriate because I don't think the law authorizes that either. But I think, and I beg your indulgence on it, I'll conclude. I think your comment is very well taken. The RFP has to go out with a number, otherwise it's open-ended. And it's open-ended not because there isn't a number, I think. That's one of the factors. But as we saw in the first appeal, it's because the RFP process allows the number to be expanded in negotiation. Then we have this loosey-goosey considerations, minimum requirements, what is it? And so really what that highlights is that the RFP process doesn't work. And it should be an ITB. It should be an IFB, an invitation for bid. And you go...
I object.
We're going...
If I may just conclude, I'll just finish my sentence.
We're going a little beyond the issues that you raised in your appeal.
All right, so let me finish. This is... We have time to fix this problem.
Oh, by the way, objection sustained. Okay, please proceed.
We have time to fix this problem. Let's fix it right. We have legislatures who are willing to fix this problem.
Objection.
H2 workers.
Okay, what's the objection, Mr.
Well, you sustained the objection. She's just continuing on with the same.
Okay, can we?
May I respond? I'm responding to the delay issues he's raised.
Okay, well.
That's squarely before
us. The issue right now is the motion. The motion to dismiss. And,
right.
And the two issues that you believe are still issues. So,
But they've raised in their papers the issue of delay. All right, and I have the right to respond to the issue of delay, which is what I'm doing right now.
Okay, please go.
Thank you. As we are all well aware, there are labor...
Second objection is denied. Please proceed.
As we are all well aware, there is an H2 labor problem. That started early last year. And when you talk about delays getting this forward, even if it were to be awarded today, there are not enough resources, labor resources, on Guam to do the work. And the cost of labor has gone up. It used to be $13.50 an hour. Now it's $20 to $25 an hour. That's a very easy number to calculate. You have a $70 million project. 30% is usually the rough number for labor cost. On a $70 million project, your labor is $21 million. But if you double that, because that's what's happened now it's $41 million, your cost is $91 million, assuming that you have the workers to do it. So when we talk about delay, let's really focus on what really is going on in the reality, the real world right now, is we don't have workers. The government of Guam is going to be bidding against the Navy, the Air Force projects, who have bottomless resources to pay top dollars for labor. Let's use this time. Delay is not an excuse not to follow the law. And delay is not an excuse to push this forward. Push forward an RFP that doesn't work. It is time. Let's look at the reality and let's fix the problem. Because we have the time to do it. And do it right. And do it at a price that makes sense, and at the best price for the best school. Thank you.
Mr. Keeler?
I'm at a loss. The government has agreed on the two points that were protested. In Ms. Tang's response, she then referenced best value and related it directly to inclusion of cost being a factor as part of the proposal evaluation. The government's agreed to that. So she also referenced and cited and read a portion of the current RFP stating that the two RFPs could not be quote unquote lumped together. We've stipulated that, we've agreed. We're not gonna have them together. So citing that language doesn't make any sense. We've already said we're going to amend the RFP. Um, Cortec's main argument is how they are going to control the issuance of the second RFP, what it should be contained and what should be included in that. Ms. Tang states that they're not there to protest, and I'm not certain that's accurate. If you take a look at the response to agency report, page 3, lines 12 to 14, and this again, the Cortec's response doesn't deal with the current RFP, which we've already resolved the issues to. It addresses 58E, okay, the future RFP. And in there, page 3, lines 12 to 14, Cortec states, while it is possible that the program study, which is a term that is not defined in Chapter 58E, can be substituted with the CCIP, Cortec cannot be certain that the CCIP fulfills the purpose of the program study until the CCIP is completed. I emphasize, until the CCIP is completed. We don't have a draft RFP, and in their response, they're addressing the second RFP. The issues with respect to the first one, they're no longer going to be lumped together. You're now going to have value as part of the determination. Cortec requested that they be separated. They're now separated, and yet they're continuing to argue over what is going to be in the second RFP that's not even drafted.
Else, Mr. Kuhn?
No, thank you.
Let me just ask both the parties this. Because it would take probably, as we've already discussed, at least a couple of days for each of the parties to present their respective cases in a formal hearing. It would probably take another 30 or so days to issue a decision in this matter. And it appears, just looking at the emails and the draft stipulation, that the parties are fairly, or were fairly close to coming to an agreement. Would that be a fair assessment, Ms. Tang? But for one sentence?
Yes.
And would it be beneficial to allow the parties more time to see if they could agree to a stipulation or not? If it really not going to work if Ms. Tang, you believe, or Mr. Keeler, you believe that essentially there's just no agreement over one sentence in this stipulation. There's just
no hope. The
government
is more than willing to continue to work on that.
Ms. Tang?
My position is this. I think that any stipulation needs a clear understanding of what the law requires and not just saying, well, we're conceding because we want to avoid a delay, because that doesn't resolve the issue. We're talking about tens of millions of taxpayers' dollars on maintenance and insurance for the 34 schools for 30 years. So if we cannot reach an agreement on an issue, I don't want to waste anybody's time.
I hear you.
They haven't agreed in the past, unless he's going to say here and now that they're going to agree to that interpretation. It's an interpretation of 58E and D. Unless they're going to agree to that interpretation, then we shouldn't waste any time.
Thank you, Ms. Tang. All right. We're going to take the motion to dismiss under advisement. We will be issuing a decision in writing. Just to remind the parties that this Friday, April the 21st, the hearing materials are due to be filed on May the 5th. The part parties' hearing briefs are going to be filed. And unless the motion to dismiss is granted, we will proceed with the formal hearing in this matter on May the 8th at 9 a.m. Do the parties have any questions?
None.
No, thank you.
All right, I'll try to issue the decision as quickly as possible.
Thank you.
All right, any answers? All right, we're off the record.
We're off the record at 11:13 a.m.